The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
You are now listening to Beyond the Veil, The Secret World.
Hello, everybody. Good night. Good day. Igor, what time is it?
Master, it's showtime.
Ah, yes, Igor, you're correct. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Beyond the Veil, The Secret World. Yes, in other words, TSW. It's an acronym, I think. It's an acronym?
I think it's an abbreviation, Master.
Ah, yes, that too. Ah, so welcome to Beyond the Veil, DSW, or The Secret World. Ah, today's episode is brought to you by TSW. You get it, Eagle? Because I made that joke because of the other guy?
Master, that was kind of cheeky.
Ah, I know, Igor. This is Transylvania. Of course, it's cheeky. Ah, you have to be cheeky. We're in the show business now. We're big stars. Yes, you're a star, and I'm not sure why. You and Mr. Wiggles, and no one even knows who Mr. Wiggles is. But you're still. Everybody knows who Mr. Wiggles is, and you are a star too. But not as big as me. I am the superstar.
Yes, Master. You are a superstar.
Yes, I know this. This is what I was telling you. Ah, Igor, you're driving me batty. Anyway, welcome to Beyond the Veil, TSW. Anyway, what's on the show for tonight? We're going to be discussing DSW's favorite characters. We'll also talk about BVP tournament this weekend. Also, don't forget the Fast Big Deck. Yes, we love that show. And then the Twitterverse experiment. What was it I said last week?
I think you said Twitterverse experimente.
Ah, yes. TM. Twitterverse Experimente, TM. Anyway, and also new items released this week. So all of that and more tonight on Beyond the Veil. Hey, Xander, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Count. How are you?
Ah, I'm doing marvelous. Can you call me later on? I have something I wanted to say later on in the show.
Yeah, I suppose I can do that.
Cool, very awesome. Can I also say something right now, Xander? Like, just before we start the show?
I don't see why not. Go right ahead.
Okay, yes. So this is what happened, okay? You know, I was sitting in my crypt, and I was having a sleep, and then I had the coffin down halfway because it's for some reason, it's very, very cold this time of the year, and I love it. Yes, it's very nice when I'm sleeping, right? So it's in the middle of the day, and I had my crypt halfway open in my casket, and then I kept getting this linging noise, this ling, ling, ling. So I go, Egon, answer the bloody phone! And he goes, yes, Master, I'll answer the bloody phone.
Master, I don't sound like that.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I cannot talk like you because I am the star. If I talk like you, then I'll be you. So it wouldn't work that way.
Oh, I totally get it, Master.
Yes, anyway. So I'm saying, you answer the phone, and then he said it's for me. So I answer the phone, I said, hello. And he goes, someone's on the other side. And he says, excuse me, you have won a free cruise to the Bahamas. And I'm like, the Bahamas? What is the Bahamas? Is this something that you put on toast? I am a vampire. I do not eat toast. I do not want hummus. And it is like an automated voice. It kept saying, you have won a free trip to the Bahamas. Do you know this?
You mean the Bahamas?
Yes, that's it. The Bahamas. Anyway, so yes, you can win a free trip to the Bahamas. But all you need to do to verify is to answer a short survey and give a credit card. Is this a good thing?
No, Count. Actually, a lot of people have been getting those calls all around the world. What it is, it's a computer service. Someone's actually sitting in their basement somewhere with their computer hooked up to their telephone, and it randomly calls numbers, and then when people answer it, they sell those numbers to hackers or other video scam, or sorry, phone scam operators. And basically, if you get this number, or you get this call saying that you win a free trip to Bahamas, that you know, you give your credit card information to prove you're verifying your age or whatnot, so forth, then they take your credit card information and either steal from you or sell it to someone else that will actually do harm to your credit score.
Oh, okay, good, because I did not give it to him, because I'm rich. Why would I need such a thing? I don't like need credit card. Anyway, so I ended up hanging up. And then like 15 minutes later, I got the call. I got the call from this man that sounded like a pool. He sounded like a pool from the place with the weird people that look like bunny rabbits that are yellow. Because they're like very sick, you know? They look yellow bunny rabbits.
You mean The Simpsons?
Yes, that's it, The Simpsons. Anyway, he said, excuse me, Mr. Count. And for some reason, he doesn't know my first name. Anyway, but he said, excuse me, Mr. Count, I am from Microsoft. And I am calling you to report that somebody has stolen your computer access and is doing illegal stuff on your computer.
And what did you do?
Well, the thing is, Xander, I don't have a computer. So how could they steal my stuff? I'm a bloody freaking vampire. What do I need a computer for?
Well, how are you talking to us today?
Oh, remember, Xander, you have that satellite link-up thing. I pressed two buttons is all I can do. Two buttons. Like, I can't do nothing else. Like, I can only press two buttons. So I do not have an internet connection, and I do not have that thing, the computer. So, you know, I don't know how people are stealing my stuff on my computer.
Well, that kind of sounds like something that's happened to me a little while back, too. Again, people are posing as, you know, Microsoft, and they say, well, they're going to point you to somewhere in your computer, and they're going to tell you, well, this is an error line, this is from a hacker, and if you want to get rid of it, it's going to cost you $30, you know, and then you have to give your credit card information.
So again, with the credit card, oh, why would people do this? You know, oh, it makes no sense at all. It's sort of, oh, it's like Igor. Well, like Igor, he tries to do stuff like that's really weird, and I just let him go. But this is not good. Why do people like try to steal the credit cards?
Well, because people don't actually have anything else better to do. I guess they just want to go and try to steal stuff from other people.
So these are very, very bad, and they give us, you know, they give us people, us vampires, bad names when we suck your blood. But man, these people suck your whole information. It's not very good.
No, it's not very good.
So anyways, Xander, I just wanted to tell you about that. So have yourself a good night, and I'll talk to you later on the show, okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay, Xander. See you, everybody. Bye-byes.
Igor?
Yes, master?
Press that button again. We never get it right, so just press it again.
Okay.
So, everyone, hi, I'm Xander. Welcome to Beyond the Veil, the Secret World. So, I guess Count's having a little bit of problems now. Have any of you guys had any of these mishaps happen to you, like a free trip to the Bahamas, you know, or Microsoft sitting there calling you up and saying, hey, you know, you have a hacker?
Nope.
Nah.
Can't say nope. I have, no.
No? Well, that sucks. It makes life interesting. I get those frequently, too. But anyway, that's a kind of a good thing, I guess. So yes, welcome to the show. We have lots of stuff to talk about tonight. And how are you, Galatrix?
I am good, thank you.
Is great. I am so happy. Faye, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Xander. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely awesome. How are you?
I'm good. I figured I'd ask you how you are since we have no Rowan tonight.
Oh yeah, hey, I forgot. Yeah, where is he? Now I'm gonna have to get the Count to find him. It's probably a special night.
Maybe.
Gigabyte. Ooh. How are you?
I am tired.
Oh.
Very tired.
Don't the British call it knackered?
I am knackered, yes, knackered.
Why are you knackered?
I have been in from work for just over about an hour and a half now.
You just got home from work, or you're at work?
No, I got home from work about an hour and a half ago.
Well, that's good. It's time to party.
You like to party. We like, speaking of partying, Myth. You like to party, don't you?
I do like to party.
Good, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, actually.
That is awesome. Are we having sound issues on the live stream again? I just seen that.
I think we might be.
Son of a...
Did you get filth in your audio card again?
I don't know.
Okay. I blame Gigabyte's cat.
You blame my filthy pussy.
Taking full advantage of that mature rating, are we?
Yeah, really.
The cat.
Okay. My cat is in heat. Not that anyone really needs to know that.
I'm so happy we have a male dog.
No, female cat, female dog. I'm just double trouble.
Plus, there's more females around you, Faye. How do you survive?
I don't know. It's me, my son, and everything. Oh yeah, female guinea pig, a daughter, a wife, and one son. That's it.
Okay, so where did we leave off?
So, we were asking Gig, how is he tonight?
How are you, Gig?
Yes, as I say, I'm knackered, as we say, over the pond. I am very, very tired. Not long
over the river and through woods.
Sorry?
Over the river and through woods all the way to Giggy's house?
Indiddly-do.
Myth, how are you tonight? You like to party. I remember saying that much.
I do, and I'm actually doing quite well tonight.
That is super califragilisticexpialidocious. I have no idea what that means, but moving on. M-Dash, how are you tonight?
I'm good, other than being a little bit tired.
Oh, so you're knackered too?
Just a little.
You gotta love it. Everyone's knackered tonight for some reason. Don't get your knickers in a bunch, though. I know slang. And Tita, how are you, my darling wife?
I'm pretty good. I'm not knackered. I'm not tired. Surprisingly, I think the jet lag still is holding on to me. So I'm actually doing pretty darn good.
You're doing pretty darn good. That is awesome. Yeah. This is like your first. This is, why were you jet lagged? It was like you sound like you were on vacation.
You think, right? Was it that memorable that you kind of like forgot?
Well, it's not like the our viewers or audience knows.
Well, they do. They do.
It was a big party they had in your absence, Antida.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Considering that one of the shows was on my birthday.
Yeah.
And I got everyone to sing me a happy birthday.
You want an encore?
And guess what? No. It's not my birthday. Well, it's not my birthday. But yours is coming up, so, you know, ooh, everybody polish those vocal cords and, you know, get ready.
Yeah. So, we do have some news to relay to you tonight. We had an update. And that's it! Welcome to the show, everyone! No, we had a patch.
Nice of you to join us!
Exactly! Yes, we had a patch come along. Yes, it some issues were resolved, some bugs were fixed, and some bugs were squashed, and probably some other bugs crept up, and that's just the life of an MMO player. If you can accept that, then you're in a long gaming company, peoples.
Finally got the shovel!
Yes, we got the shovel back! Galatrix, tell us about the shovel!
It was there. I picked it up. I used it. It works.
You picked it up, and it worked. I felt like a shovel. I want to say the other word that's really, you know, kind of bad.
Yeah,
but...
no.
Prostitute.
Yeah, I felt like a no. I guess the politically correct term is streetwalker. Okay,
so don't I think felt that's like... the politically correct term.
No.
What is it?
Not
okay,
that.
I was.
Would you be? Would
prostitute.
You be? Would you be the shovel mister of the night?
I am the shovel mister of the night.
By day, I'm a mild-mannered Xander Hayes, traveling around the secret world, but by night, I am the Shuffler.
If you guys are wondering why we're going down this route, well, it would seem that, you know, while the shovel issue got bugged, it would seem that Xander, who had a shovel in his inventory, that shovel got bugged as well. So he was able to use it and reuse it as many times as he wanted or needed to. So everybody who wanted to complete the mission and couldn't get the shovel was just calling Xander, "Xander, I need your shovel."
It was so like I worked for like the you know the Kingsmith community or town community workers or whatever. You know, there'd be like six people standing around me and only me doing the shoveling. You know, that was such a good place. You know, it must have been like
every
a union.
Every day was shoveling.
Every day we're shoveling. Da 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 da. Yeah. So yeah, everyone was. I was being pimped out for my shovel, and no one paid me either. No,
ironically, the day I joined you guys on that mission was the day that you lost the shovel.
Yeah. He lost it eventually, yeah. The shovel said no.
Yeah, I lost the shovel when they took the mission out of the patch.
Honey, you lost your shovel a long time ago.
Yeah, I hear that frequently.
Not just for me.
No, oh, thanks.
Wow.
Not just from her, but from everybody. And that's why you turn into every week, isn't it, everyone? You know, that's why you tune in, because hilarity always ensues, whether or not we have a shovel. So if you have a silver tongue, now you have a shovel again. So leave me alone. I will shovel my stuff myself, and you can shovel your own.
He will shovel no more.
Every day we're shoveling. T is the W. Anyway, yeah, that was just really stupid. Yeah, there's not really a whole lot else that was, you know, really stood out in my mind in the patch notes. Has anything else stood out for you guys?
Oh, I the most interesting thing for me, of course, was the Albion Theater accepts tips for plays. So if you put on a play, you can actually make money off of it.
Yeah,
they're just trying to use what's already in the game to get people to actually use it, because the theater, let's face it, when was the last time someone used it, you know, for any kind of event or anything like that? So I think they're trying to get people to use the venues that are already in the game. So it's kind of like, okay, we'll pay you money if you use it.
So they should, really. I mean, I'm sure the dev team put a lot of work into doing that, and, you know, I would have thought at least it would have seen a lot more use than it has, given the RP community in this game.
But I'm actually quite surprised they actually did any work to it after. Like, there's quite a few things in here about the Albion Theater. They moved the switch to lock-unlock the stage and added an indicator light to show the stage currently locked or unlocked. The stage can now be locked, unlocked from a stage manager's table, adding scene number indicator on the wall next to the indicator lights, and yeah, the tip jar. That's a lot of work that the devs put into the Albion Theater, and I have to ask you guys, is this a lot of work for nothing? Because we only know of two theater groups that actually use the theater, aside from us. Okay, so we were one, and then there was a cabal in the game that actually put on Yenku's theater group. What was a Tall Tale Heart or something? I think that was it. Yeah. We broadcasted it, and we broadcasted it in Hall of Suite XS because you can only get like 75 people inside the theater, I think it is. And so we broadcasted, did some color commentary, and did some readings for them. But I think they were the only people that actually used it, other than us, because we used it for our poetry slam.
Yep, I'm just wondering how that tip jar works. If it has like the entire cast and you tip individual people, if it splits that money, because I'm thinking, you know, it's a great way for the cast to be on the Veil to make some money.
Yeah, other than Bison Bucks.
That's it. Do it there. Have them pay to watch us. Yes.
There you go. And then all of a sudden we'd be like, yeah. Anyway, off the air pretty fast. No, I'm joking. No, that's not true, because 119,371 people says, no, you cannot go off the air. And we love you guys. We love you. But I have to wonder, What currency are they using? You know, are they using PAX or are they using Funcom points?
Oh, they're using PAX. Well,
probably PAX. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Because if it's tipped... Ooh, now there's an idea.
It'd be awesome to choose your currency.
It'd be cool if people can tip even with, like, you know, various items, even runes or glyphs or, you know, whatever. Weapons.
Here's an anniversary flare gun.
No!
No!
Evil shenanigans!
That would be bad.
That'd be
it's like,
really
you
bad.
Get out and don't come here again.
It's like the equivalent of leaving a one penny tip at a restaurant.
Oh, that's even worse.
I've done that.
That's rude.
Yeah, but she dumped my soup on me. Coffee. She dumped my soup on me.
He actually left too much then.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, I don't believe... I'm going to say this now, and then I want people to donate to the website, right? But I don't kind of believe in donating, though. Or, sorry, tipping. Yes, if you please donate to the website, it goes back into the shows that we create free for you guys. Yes. shameless plug there. I don't really dig with the whole tipping thing. Well, no, here in the game, you're putting on stuff for, you know, for people in the theater. I dig tipping in that because you're not getting paid anyway. But tipping there, I agree with. I'm not much of a restaurant tipper because most of them make more than I do. So I don't really... Yes?
Have you ever known anyone that's worked in a restaurant?
Yes.
Apparently not.
They don't get paid as much as you think.
Yeah. They get paid minimum wage waitresses and...
minimum wage.
Yeah.
Not here in Canada. That's why people love Canada. Not here in Canada.
Really?
That's because you people are too generous.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, I never worked as a waitress, but in the service industry, anything relating to hotels, restaurants, and anything like that, I do know that in general, wages are really low. And you basically, it's usually students that work those shifts, and... they really get paid really, really low. Like, even sometimes worse than McDonald's, what McDonald's pays.
Yeah.
And they basically live off of tips.
Yeah.
That's how they make extra money that they take home every day. And
well, when me and Antita go to a restaurant, we always tip because we go to a nice restaurant like Boston Pizza or something like that, and we tip there. And the only really exception to my rule about tipping is you know, when it comes to delivery, I always tip the delivery guy. You know, whether it be $2 or $3 or whatnot, I always tip because that, you know, most of the time they don't pay a lot for gas if we're tipping for their actual job, unless they have a company vehicle. And usually 9 out of 10 of times here in Canada, they're using their own personal vehicle. So they do pay for gas, but that really doesn't pay for their oil or upkeep for their car or stuff like that. So I kind of tip that way. But, you know, when I go to a restaurant, if I get really, really good service, you know, if they make me, you know, feel good or happy with my whatever, then, yeah, I'll tip there. But, you know, if they're just like, oh, here's your burger, boom, walk away, well, no, I'm not going to tip. But you should tip in the secret world. And you should go to
So anyway, back to the secret world.
And well, if I wasn't going to cut off, you should also go to hallsweetmedia.com and tip us there. Now you can cut me off.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring us back on track to the secret world.
So you wanted
world.
To do my job. Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes even you need to get back on track. Everybody gets back on track.
So, yes, there's lots of updates to the Albion Theater, which is kind of cool. But, again, it really doesn't brings me back to the question is it worth it, you know, putting in the dev time, the dev money, you know, obviously time equals money when it comes to developing video games and stuff like that, but is it really worth the time to put it in since the community's not really using it?
I think it is to the one, I think it's only one developer that they have on the project. I'm sure he's having a blast.
I suppose.
Plus, this is just the beginning of it. You got to start from somewhere if you want people to start using certain content that's in the game. So this is, this, for all we know, this could just be the beginning of a bigger plan that they have with Albion Theater. Maybe they'll do something more with it. This is just the beginning.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I think that it would be nice if they actually gave you maybe a mission at some point to go in there, you know, to get people to actually notice that it's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you are part of a cabal that plans on putting on a play in the Albion Theater, please send us an email to beyondtsw@gmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to advertise you here on our show. And like I said, we get that up on hollowsweetmedia.com, and then we'll get it out to everyone in the Twitterverse and in the Facebook. It sounds so much cooler calling it Twitterverse, and Facebook is not so much cool. But we'll get the news out there for you, and hopefully, you know, you'll get a nice, pretty PAX, you know, in your tip jar. But what other things were in the actual update? You know, I guess there's some clothing that was fixed, like fixed the collar in the Femme Fatale, which I had absolutely no idea was broke. The veteran mask no longer clips with character faces. I don't wear it, so did anyone actually notice that?
No, I didn't notice it. I've been wearing mine since the day it came out.
I don't know what they mean by color issues on the Innsmouth College hoodie.
Yeah, and the same thing for the Lethal Weapon jacket, the hoodie, and I wear that all the time with my Outlander outfit. And yeah, I never noticed any difference.
Yeah, apparently the Femme Fatale one-shoulder black dress also had some color issues, which I was completely unaware of, because it's supposed to be black, and for me it was always black. But then Galactrix, when we talked about the updates that they've done, then Galactrix, you mentioned that it actually, depending on the angle that you would be looking at my character, at times it would actually show it as a dark blue.
Mm-hmm. We also have some general updates. Apparently an issue with, I can't even pronounce his name, Lest Hunter or Lesty Hunter, the Hell Eternal.
Luster Hunter.
Luster Hunter.
Luster Hunter. Mm-hmm.
Luster Hunter from Hell Eternal to occasionally cast Arcane Exposure too often has been resolved. Now, I don't remember this attack. I don't even remember the creature. He did so many times.
You know in Hell Eternal where you got the maze that you run around and there's that guy? That's the guy.
Mm-hmm. That's him. We always kill him so fast, I've never seen his name. Collisions have improved in Polaris playfield. Now, I'm not actually sure what they mean by playfield, if they meant the whole dungeon, or is there a field inside there that's actually called playfield?
No, I think they're referring to the whole dungeon, because they referred to playfield as well when they were talking about Tokyo in the director's lab.
All right.
I believe it refers to the whole zone.
Okay.
Yes, Joel's trying to bring that term back. It's what he calls his
playfield zones.
His different zones.
Okay, and they also adjusted the model for the Sovatech Whip. I am actually quite eager to see that.
Yeah, I've not seen the Sovatech skin for the whip yet.
That is mm-hmm. That Sovatech mods are so freakishly expensive on the auction house.
Yes, they are. And there has been there's a whole list of mission fixes in the game, too. So, yes, I'll go to the Secret World website, and you can see the whole list for yourself. Or when next time you open up your patcher, just click the link right on your patcher to find all the goodies that we didn't cover on the show, unless there's any that specifically popped out in your mind. And that's a no.
The Hatchet Falls one. Sometimes people would get bugged, and then whenever they entered, the door would close, and you could never do the vampire thing.
Oh yeah, they fixed that.
Apparently, it's fixed. I was calling from the note down there.
Good, because you had that problem yourself, actually.
Yeah, I had that problem. It was fixed for me, but then I think Faye encountered it the other day when we were trying to do it.
Yeah, I did. But the last time I went in solo, it didn't do it for me.
But what happens when you actually go in? Because I started doing issue 7 and everything was fine. I was doing it on my own. And I got to that part, the hatchet, when the hatchet falls. Now, you know, you have to deal with all those keys, and I did something wrong. I obviously did it off sequence, and it just got bugged, and I exited the facility there, and then I entered it again, and still I couldn't do anything. Does that mean that the quest is now bugged for me, and I can only complete it if I actually team up with someone else who's going to do it from start to finish?
I don't think so, to be honest, because the first time I ran that mission, obviously didn't know where I was going, and it took a little while actually doing the run through of that facility. By the time I got through to the last room, there wasn't an open door. So I think if you kind of meander through and you don't get through there in a decent enough time, the door won't open.
Oh, I'm not even talking about the door that opens for you to go and fight the vampire. I'm talking about the door opening where you have to snap the left side in order for the door to open up. And to get in to actually read the computer log, computer files, I couldn't get that part. That part got bugged for me. And it didn't matter how many times I tried it, and I was doing it as I'm supposed to. First time, I messed it up. But the rest of the times, I did it as it should be done, and it just...
Did you ever go back to the? Did you ever go back to the right hand door, right hand room, and actually take the keys back out?
I don't remember. I tried it in so many different ways, and then I even went online. I even went online to.
It just might be that your keys are still in the door, and
it could be. Yeah.
The next time you go in,
I'll just try it. I'll just try it again. Yeah.
Because typically, what you're supposed to do in this instance is you're supposed to go in, get your keys, go open the left hand side door, then EMP pulse the left hand generator in between the two doors. Go back, take your keys out, go over to the right hand door, open up everything, and then go zap the right EMP the right generator door switch or whatever to keep the doors locked open. So, but to actually get the special mission, the side quest, and to get access to the vampire, you only have to zap. You have to zap the left side only, and then open up the right side doors and just run through without zapping it. And that's supposed to be part of the code to unlock to leave the other door open and get the vampire.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do, and I was not successful. It could be, like I said, it's probably down to something that I was doing. It's just that I tried all kinds of different stuff, and it just wasn't working. So I figured, okay, maybe I'm bugged.
So hopefully you're not bugged, and let's move on.
Galactrix's bug went on to me.
Getting buggy with it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-da. Anyway, so what are your favorite TSW characters? Yes, this is the question that the community wants to know. What are our favorite TSW characters? And we would like to know what yours are, too. So please send an email into beyondtsw@gmail.com and tell us who your favorite characters are. So I'm going to start with you, Galactrix. Who is your favorite character in The Secret World?
I would say Saeed, because he has the most kind of interesting... I don't know, everything about him is kind of interesting. The way he's like talks, he's like sarcastic, and then his attitude is kind of cool. And then his backstory is an ancient mummy. That's cool.
And you
as
meet
well.
Him, and you meet him back in time too.
Yeah.
When he's not all pruny.
Yeah, so wrinkly. I'd like to see more kind of like missions or stories with Saeed featuring in it.
Mm-hmm. Like The Last Train of Cairo. Faye, what is your favorite TSW character?
I was going to say Saeed 2.
But now you have to give us a different reason.
Because he's, like, cool, even though he's a thief in the past. His old stuff stole stuff from me, and that didn't make me very happy. But he's very witty and funny and No, it was a toss-up for me between him and Nasir, of course.
Aha, the Boom Boom Man. Gigabyte, what is yours?
In all honesty, I'm going to have to jump on the bandwagon and say Saeed.
Yeah, you have to give us a different reason.
Well, it is quite an interesting reason, actually. When I first heard the character's name, character's voice, I could have sworn I'd heard it somewhere before, because it really reminds me of a guy that does sort of podcast books. Like he's an author that writes his own stuff, and he puts out podio books. That's the word.
It's Ben Aldridge.
Sorry.
It's the guy who's doing the voiceover for Saeed is called Ben Aldridge.
Yeah, he reminds me of a guy called T. Morris, though. That was really got me about that. I was like, is that T. Morris? Good lord. You know? And then obviously I found out it wasn't, but, you know, it just really kind of stuck with me.
Crikey, that's lovely. Myth, what is yours?
Well, other than, of course, the ones that everyone else has said, I'm going to have to go with the janitor, which any dragon players will know who I'm talking about.
No.
Yeah. I was actually going to say the baby leader of the dragons because he's witty and talks a lot.
So what's so remarkable about the janitor?
For those who do not have a dragon character, when you go into the dragon base to talk to your people in charge, there's the baby who's the representation of the dragon, and then the woman who speaks for him. And every time, there's always just this janitor guy in the back, sitting in the background, brushing the floor. And you and that, your character and that janitor share so many meaningful looks, it's ridiculous.
You weird dragons, you.
I have a sneaking suspicion that janitor is actually the person in charge.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me.
I think that would fit very well in the way the dragon work.
Do you concur there, Faye?
I wouldn't put it past those sneaky, my fellow dragons.
Okay, so Dash.
Yeah.
What is your favorite TSW character?
Okay, I was going to say Nasir, obviously. Most people know I love Nasir, talk about him all the time. And then I considered Carter, because I think she's a very underrated character. I mean, she's really strong, she has a great backstory, and I don't know, I'd like to see more of her. I like that she's mentioned in issue 7. I mean, as soon as we hear that Emma is more powerful than Carter, it's just kind of like taken aback, like, oh wow, we've seen how powerful Carter is. But then I remembered that the Illuminati get phone calls from this lovely man who speaks primarily in memes, and I really like him.
Who's this guy?
Well, we have Kristen Geary, of course, but then via cell phone we get phone calls from a mission giver from some of them, and I can't find his name anywhere, but he generally likes to speak in memes.
What is a meme?
Like, you know, common internet jokes, like...
Wow.
Yeah.
Xander, that's it. That's 10 points off your nerd license, mate.
Oh, can you do this one for me, Dash, please?
Yeah, please.
Oh, no.
Don't fail me.
Gigabyte, being a nerd is about loving what you love and knowing what you know and not loving what you don't love and being proud of it no matter what.
You
and that
got
is the
served.
Team version of it.
You got served.
No, he didn't. He just got, like, told. But you did not get served. You should have heard her a few days ago. Who was it? Alistair said something? Was it Alistair or someone else, Dash?
Oh, I don't remember.
Someone said something about the nerd license, and from all the voices in TeamSpeak, Dash's voice just rose up. Yeah. We all kept quiet and we were like, wow. You go, Dash.
Touched the nerve there.
I had just finished a cup of coffee.
Yeah, she just
it was morning for her.
She just woke up. It was only 5 minutes after she woke up, and we thought that was so awesome that we wanted to recreate the whole thing that happened and get it because we weren't recording at the time. So what we were going to do was we were going to get Myth to like put the phone next to her, and then we were going to call her while she's still asleep, and then say something when she answers it, and just record the whole thing.
Yeah, the only thing Myth was fearing for his life there, so he said no.
Plus, I never woke up first.
Yeah,
we have that problem too, right? So, yeah. And knowing our luck, we call it the wrong time. So, so anyway, whoopsie. So, Antida, what is your favorite?
All right. Well, while I do love Saeed, for me, it was a toss-up between Nasir and Dame Julia, who can be found, only the Templars would know her. She's in Templar HQ. She gives you calls for different missions and, you know, advancements of your character in faction rank. And she is just freaking hilarious to me. She is, I guess she'd be like, what's her name? Kirsten Geary. Yeah. You know, kind of like of the Templars. She's really straightforward, but she's the old school Templar, you know, and kind of reminds me a little bit of James Bond of what's her name? Is it Moneypenny?
Moneypenny. Yeah.
She can be quite bitchy as well, and you know, she's like this stuck up British. Brit, who's very proud of her lineage and, you know, being a Templar. And she does not know technology at all. It's always funny. It's like almost hearing my mom when she talks about technology. So she always manages to kind of like make me smile. And I loved the interactions and the voiceover that I think it's the actress who does her voice is called Susan Brown, and she's also the voice of Cuckoo Vea in Besieged Farmlands and Olga Dimir in Shadowy Forest. And as you all well know, the voice acting in The Secret World is awesome. And there's a huge number of voice actors who have done an awesome job.
Yeah, I've nicknamed that one Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, yeah.
Any British Dame listeners Edna. Would know what I'm talking about there.
It's oh, Dame no, Edna. no, not like that. Not like that. But yeah, there's plenty of other, like Jeffrey Coombs is there, who people, I think, know quite well. Cause
Tim Russ. Done,
yeah. When I actually heard first, I was in one of the missions there just before I got into Polaris, and the voice was so familiar, and I just could not place it. I couldn't place it. And then someone in chat, well, someone, you know, in TeamSpeak mentioned Tuvok. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my god, that's him.
I geeked as soon as I heard that. I was like, oh my god, that's Tuvok. Awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing how you know, you don't know the actor, but you know the character that they played.
I geeked even more when I heard Jeffrey Coombs' voice as well, because he's all over Star Trek.
Yep. Yep. He's like one of the only actors to... He wasn't in TOS, right? Because he was too young for that.
No.
But he was in everything else, basically.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially DS9. Ferengi and Wayoon and God knows how many other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome voice acting there. So what's yours, Xander?
Right now, it's my wolf, my little lichen, my little small lichen thingy, lichen troth. He's howling at the moon. he's howling at the moon, and it's working really cool. We've been trying to get him to howl the moon for like forever, and he's already done it like 10 times during the show, so I'm like very happy. Anyway, actually mine is Jeffrey Combs. He plays the vice principal at the Innsmouth Academy. I forgot his name completely.
Hayden Montag,
yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Anyway, just some of the cut scenes when you're just doing the normal missions from the Innsmouth Academy. One time I was drinking pop, and then he said something about germs or whatever. I have absolutely no idea what it was, but it was so freaking hilarious. I spit my coffee out, or my pop out my nose, all over my keyboard.
I would like to change my answer to Hayden Montag, because yeah, that guy's got a dry wit. Just rapier thin.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, like he just has that wit that is like so superb, and it really, really cuts you up. It's really awesome.
Just when you walk past him, please do not run in the holes. They're still slick with gore.
Yes, I think that was it. I think that was it, yeah. But, okay, so moving on. What is your, I guess Antita asked a question a little while ago, so we might as well answer it here. What is your guys' favorite villain in the game? Go ahead, Galatrix.
I have to think about this one. Because I said, like, before the show started, I said maybe the Demirs, but they're not really villains. They're just mission givers, but they are creepy. It's like you've got they're in the Demir farm in the shadowy forest, and you've got the Sylvie, who's really fond of chopping up fairies and things and turning them into sausages. But then you've got his mother, and I think he's like really scared of his mother. And the things she says are hilarious. Like, he's like, his father had syphilis and stuff like that. That just made me laugh my head off.
Maybe that's why he turned out the way he did.
What about you, Faye?
Yeah, that's kind of a toughie too, because there's not a whole lot of super villains, as we just found out. Of course, Lilith is kind of a super villain, so I'm probably gonna have to go with her because she's the newest.
So yours is Lilith?
Yep.
Well, Gig, what is yours?
I would probably have to go with Beaumont, to be honest. Or should I say Loki? I quite like that character. He's very sarcastic and very sure of himself. I quite like that character.
What about you there, Myth? Take your time. It's okay. We're not on a live show.
I think that I like Cassandra, the girl from Kingsmith who ends up stealing the sword at the end of that area.
She is a little bitch.
I can't wait to see her come back.
I so thought my character was going to get it on with her. Not like we ever actually met, but I thought not my character. I thought that dude, that dragon, was going to get it on with her on the table. When you're in that mission, is like I think you're still in Kingsmith or maybe the Blue Mountains, not the Blue Mountains, the Savage Coast. When you're in the tunnel, I think that's where you actually go from Kingsmith to the Savage Coast. You have to go through that tunnel, and that mission there, where you have to sneak around the lasers, and then you're sitting in the computer room or in the driver room, and they're sitting there talking about the master plan, and they're getting all cheeky and sexy and everything next to the table. I thought I was going to be like, this is going to be one of those awkward moments where I'm going to be sitting here, and they're going to be doing like the full throttle on the table, and yeah. The only thing I remember about her, other than taking the sword. So she's your favorite?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that.
Sweet. Dash, yours?
Well, after the ones that are already mentioned, of course, I think that I'd like to see where Morning Light is going, because I know that they're bad people from little mentions and missions and stuff, but I'm kind of waiting for them to actually do something, so I'm kind of waiting for them to pop up. Yeah.
What about you, Antita?
Oh, gosh. Again, a toss-up. Between Klaus von Richter in a dungeon, is it Ankh? Oh my dear God, that guy ticks me off. Just the sound of the voice. It's brilliant voice acting. But it just kind of... it irks me the wrong way. But even more so than that, when you actually go to London and into the post office, there is an NPC there. I don't even know if it's an NPC or just, you know, the soundbite they play for you while you're there. There is this particular woman that keeps on laughing. She laughs her head off, but it is so annoying. Every time I go there, I think if I ever... I go there because it's closest to Agartha Portal. So I don't go to the bank because, you know, it's some distance away, which I guess running at speed 4 is not that far. But I prefer to not to run all the way there, especially if I have to do something quickly in the bank. So I usually go to the post office, and it always annoys the hell out of me, that high-pitched laughter and just the sound of her. But yeah, don't like it.
Well, you'll never guess what my favorite bad guy is. Take a couple guesses.
Sade?
That's it? No other guesses? Okay, my favorite bad guy in the whole of TSW is, drumroll please, me.
Yeah, I said apart from you. Hello, you're not an NPC.
Well, you said, no, you said, you just said you know. Saeed. Yeah, anyway. But no, I'm my favorite bad guy. And I guess people are kind of scratching their heads. Why would I consider myself a bad guy? And I really don't. But there's two different kinds of NPCs. There's active and proactive NPCs in the game. I guess the inactive ones, you find a lot of those ones in the beginnings, at the Wabanaki camp and places, stuff like that. Those NPCs they're talking, portraying as if they're victims of what's going on, and especially a lot of people in Kingsmith, and they're looking for you for help. But as you venture on further through the story, you come across NPCs that are actually active, that are actually hunters, like the vampire hunter. He sits there and he really drives a stake into your heart during one of the missions that he's actually telling about how us superpowered people are running amok, you know, destroying everything, and it's, you know, pretty much our fault. So, you know, it's already your fault, so go and fix it. So he kind of guilts you into doing stuff, but it really does kind of drive a stake home that, you know, we're running around and a lot of this mess is because of us and our superpowers and our factions. So that's why I kind of think that I'm like my favorite bad guy, is because I never thought of myself as a bad guy until an innocent bystander looks at me and says, hey, you are part of the reason why this mess is here.
Also, Xander chose all of the evil options in the dream worlds.
Yeah. I know who did that.
Hey, I killed the bat thing first. In the second one, sorry.
You broke the prison.
I broke the prison, killed the bat, and took the gift. Backwards. So I took the gift, killed the bat, and broke the prison, yeah. I guess I am evil. Haha.
That's right. That bat had a mother.
Uh-huh. And speaking of mothers, actually, I have nothing to lead in on that one. But anyway, switching the topic. Antita, we have a PvP tournament coming up. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yep. It's a regular monthly PvP duel tournament that the awesome crew comprising of Rob Frost, RK Tim, and Amat have taken over from Moritea after she had left Funcom. The monthly duel tournament, branded Highway to Well August, will be held this coming Sunday, the 18th of August, at 1800 UTC. And as with the last tournament, our crew will actually be live streaming it again. And our awesome commentators, Bay and Galactrix, will lend their commentary once more to the event. So do tune in to that. When it comes to the tournament itself, there are two possible venues based on the number of participants that enter the tournament. So if 20 people or less sign up, the tournament will be held in the London Fight Club. If more than 20 people sign up, there will be multiple fights organized simultaneously in the three fight arenas in Seoul. This month, the guys will be testing out the new Swiss tournament system, and this will pretty much allow sign-ups to almost right up to the start of the event. The last sign-up can be done like 10 minutes before the event actually starts. This is it. I say the guys are going to be testing it and seeing how the players actually participants respond to it and see if there are any issues with it. So if there is any need for any adjustment in the future, they will pretty much do it. They are dedicated to this tournament, and they want to make it as fun and as great as it can possibly be. As for rewards, they're once again sponsored by Funcom. Third place will again receive one blue signet reward bag and 600 bonus points. Second place will receive two blue signet reward bags and 1200 bonus points. And first place will receive three blue signet reward bags, 1800 bonus points, and a choice of an astral fuse or a criterion upgrade, which is pretty handy if you want to get an invite to that elite nightmare dungeon. In order to sign up, all you have to do is go to the forums, and there is a post there. We'll post it in our live stream. I'll post it right after this. The link to the forum post where you can sign up. You can also send a message to RK Tim on the forums, or in game to either him, RK Tim, or Rob Frost, if you catch them online. Now, make sure that, as always, before you enter any kind of event, that you agree, that you do take the time to read and understand the rules of the tournament, so that you're not caught off guard or, you know, start saying, well, this isn't how I thought it would be. And yeah, just head on to the forums and sign your butts up.
I know one of our Beyonders is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be rooting for her.
Finally, we're going to have someone from our cast fighting.
Are you excited?
I'm scared.
Aw, don't be.
Do you have your deck all planned out, what you're going to be using?
I made a few new ones. It depends on what I can manage to throw together for some good weapons and stuff in the next few days.
Well, we'll be rooting for you all the way.
Thank you.
And now let's find out what's on Faye's big deck.
Hello, friends. Have you ever been out slaying monsters with a friend, and you get your deck lined up to penetrate the armor of a foe, just to have your friend jump in front of you with his superior deck and pound that monster ever so quick and hard that you didn't even see it coming? Well, I'm here to tell you, I've been in that very same uncomfortable position, and it made me angry that my deck did not stand up to my friends. To avoid an embarrassing situation, listen to Faye's Big Deck. We'll all help you understand the deepest unknown features of your deck so that you will be able to lift your head up high the next time you are out with your friends. I hope you will listen to Faye's Big Deck on Beyond the Veil live every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, or check us out through hollowsweetmagazine.com. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Faye's Big Deck. Tonight's a very special episode because we are dealing with Xander's deck. He was nice enough to place his deck in my hands, as well as Galactic's hands. It's kind of a slightly used, dirty deck, but what can you say? It is called the Ground Pounder deck. We named the Battlestar Galactic's AoE deck, but it is one and the same. Now, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. So, Faye? Faye, are you out there live in the studio? Yes. Yes, Faye, I am live. Okay, can you do me a favor? Sure, no problems. What do you want? I'd like you to ask Xander some questions about his deck and go over his deck with him and talk about his deck. Why, sure, Faye. I don't have any problems with doing that. I will gladly talk to Xander live in studio about his deck. Oh, thank you very much, Faye. Okay, over to you. I'm going to leave the beat going, and you guys can just talk over the beat about Xander's special deck. So, Xander.
Yes?
Let's discuss this interesting deck called the Ground Pounder.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to know about my Ground Pounder?
Well, first off, I understand that you renamed the Ground Pounder after somebody else, not me, touched your deck.
Yes. Well, it was a short little story. We were in a nightmare dungeon, and our friend RK Tim looked at my deck and made some changes for it for a nightmare. And after that, I actually showed my deck, my new deck from RK Tim, and my original Ground Pounder deck to Galactrix. And then Galactrix looked through it and actually went through a couple of missions with me and learned all the benefits of the Ground Pounder deck and learned how to properly use it and to fire it off. And then he made a couple simple little adjustments and gave it to me. And then I was like, wow, this is actually a very good improvement. So I dubbed the new deck the Battlestar Galactrix deck.
That's very
good.
Yeah, you should feel very special that you played. So
I named my deck after
deck,
you, Galactrix.
He named his deck after you. So let's go this just a little bit, so I can get your thoughts on why you love this deck so much. So we're gonna start out with the suppressing fire ability. Why do you like that ability?
Well, the thing is, suppressing fire is a very fast attack. It deals a good deal of damage to a wide vicinity of targets. Also, it's good for culling targets, and you want to cull targets and bring them to you. Now, if you use something like Red Mist or Hip Shot or Through Ground Burst, that's a single opponent hit. But Suppressing Fire attacks a cone in front of you, and I think it's up to 5 enemies. So you can attract up to 5 enemies to bring them to you, and that's one of the key features of this deck.
Okay, what about this? The next ability I show in mine is 3-round Burst.
Now, 3-round Burst, again, unlike Suppressing Fire, 3-round Burst is a single target attack. Now, even though this is this Ground Pounder, well, actually, in this case, Battlestar Galactrix also, this deck is made for AoEs, but it's not a very good thing to run into a single opponent and not have enough stopping power to take down that one single opponent, because a lot of these AoEs in here is actually going to do a lot of damage to many targets, but not a lot of damage to a single target. So you want single target attacks.
Well, speaking of single target attacks, the next one I show is Red Mist. This I know is one of your favorites.
Yes, yes. Anyone who PvPs with me knows that I'll Red Mist you in the face. And Red Mist is good. Not only does it has a longer range than 3-round Burst, so it's also good for fishing. So it's fishing is a tactical strategy where you can actually target an enemy up to 30 meters away and drag them to you, which in a good example of this would be doing the Last Train to Cairo dailies, where you have to get some of those bosses out of the middle of a crowd, and you don't want to aggro the whole crowd. So you just Red Mist them, and then they run right to you, and then you kill them that way.
So there's another big attack in this deck known as Thor's Hammer. Why did you choose that one?
Now, this one wasn't primarily in the original Ground Pounder deck. This was an ability that I played around with a lot, but after Galactrix got a hold of my deck and played with it for a little bit, he added Thor's Hammer. Now, Thor's Hammer is in this rotation. It's actually at the end of the actual primary rotation, but again, Thor's Hammer, once it's activated, once you slam it down, it does a great deal of damage to an area on the ground that kills multiple enemies.
So you wouldn't do Thor's Hammer before you red fist them in the face? You wouldn't whip out your hammer first?
No, Thor's Hammer is going to be not your last ditch effort, but it's going to be at the end of your rotation. It's going to be okay. A finisher.
Okay, now I show that you use a Cold Wave.
Now, the reason you can set these up in different ways that you prefer. I set them up because when I game with the Razor Naga mouse. So, the Epic, sorry. And I have all my keys on my mouse. So, I have them set up and my mouse has four rows of three. So all my attacks are in certain spots on my mouse. But Cold Wave is going to be your primary attack. When you go up and you call your targets, that hitting suppressing fire, grabbing as many targets as you can with suppressing fire, once they get to you, you actually want them to get up on you, get into your space. Then you fire off Cold Wave. And not only does it stun, it can set hinder, I do believe, but it freezes and slows down your targets, and it gives a great deal of damage. So that's your first attack in this rotation.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about what your full rotation is in just a minute when we finish up these actives. But the next one I show is Tactical Retreat.
Tactical Retreat is after you fire off, Cold Wave. Now all the creatures are up in your grill. They're slowed down, but they can still attack you. Tactical Retreat, you pretty much just throw a grenade at your feet and you do a backflip back that sends you back 10 meters. And in this case, it also, again, damages your opponents and slows them down.
Okay, and the last one for the active that I show is Razor Wire.
Razor Wire is new to the deck too. Razor Wire, I have played around with a lot over the past couple of days. Razor Wire is not in the actual active rotation, but it's a last ditch effort. If you come across enemies that actually beat your full rotation and they're still coming up on you, shoot off Razor Wire and you'll dash back another 10 meters and a Razor Wire will come out in front of you. When your opponents run into it, they'll be damaged and slow down.
All right, so what would you say, before we go on to the passives, what would you say is your rotation then?
My primary rotation, again, you want to call your targets. So you'll use suppressing fire to grab as many enemies as you want, okay? Once they get to you, you do your primary attack, which is Cold Wave. After Cold Wave, that slows them down, sometimes sets hindered. Then you'll do Tactical Retreat, which will make you dash back 10 meters and drops a grenade at your feet. This also slows down your enemies again and also gives good damage to them. After that, you'll set off an attack that you haven't covered yet. That's Dragon's Breath. Now, I use Dragon's Breath with the Flamethrower, and if you don't have the Flamethrower, Whip It Good would be a good one. To use from the whip, because it's a cone attack that's in front of you and it does some decent damage to your enemies, right? From there, you can fire off if your enemies are... By this time, if you're in Kingsmith or you're in Egypt, your enemies are already going to be dead. But if you're in Transylvania, you're actually going to end up firing off safety off probably about three times. You know, to any good ghouls and stuff like that. And then you're going to want to use your last attack, which is Thor's Hammer. You drop Thor's Hammer, it'll wipe out most of your targets. But you're going to find that a lot of ghouls are actually immune to Thor's Hammer. So your last ditch effort will be Razor Wire. So you throw Razor Wire, it'll save your bacon, and you can pick off the rest of them with safety off.
Okay, we're going to go through the passives, which help increase damage. It looked like a lot of your stuff was built based around hit and damage. So we're going to go over the first one, which is Lethalogy, which states whenever you hit, you gain a single stack of a beneficial attack and increases all damage dealt by 1% per stack for 10 seconds. Do you find this really helps? Do you find this procs a lot?
Yes, it does.
All right, the next one, of course, is Knuckle Down. This increases the damage dealt by the resource builders by 10%. And the next one after that is Eagle Eye, which is increases damage dealt by all assault rifle abilities by 10%. Followed by Killstreak, which says whenever you kill an enemy, you gain one stack of a beneficial attack effect that increases the damage you deal by 3% per stack for 10 seconds, and it can stack up to 5 times. The next one is Accuracy. This increases all damage dealt by non-glancing hits by 5%. Followed by 6th Society. Whenever you attack a target below 35%, you perform an additional hit that deals 170 magical damage. Then is followed by the Elite passive, Livewire. Whenever you critically hit, you gain a Livewire counter. Once this counter reaches 4, the next critical hit triggers an additional attack. And of course, I also put Dragon's Breath, and I use the increased damage by flamethrower abilities for Searing Magnetism when mm-hmm. I was playing around with this deck.
Okay.
Now, I went through and I touched your deck and made a Battlestar Galactics 2.0, which I will hand over to you after the podcast, and we will discuss the minor changes that I had. But in overall, I actually found this was very useful in PvP more than most. And I know that when I said that, you were like, I don't see this as a PvP.
Well, it was primarily, the deck was primarily built for out in the real world, not in dungeons or in PvP. The deck was built so primarily for the focus of running around doing missions, especially when you come across a bunch of hordes of zombies or lots of Atniths, and you want to take them down really quickly and then move on to your next objective. And I'll also note that this deck here was actually a deck that a lot of people has been asking me to use when we're in dungeons by way of crowd control, you know, cleaning up the mobs and getting rid of the mobs really quick.
Yeah, the main thing, the only thing, I kept a lot of the abilities. I even kept Tactical Retreat, which I told you is not one of my favorite abilities. The main things that I switched around, and I actually tried out more, I built this more as a PvP build. So I took the razor wire off of your deck, thank me later, and I put on Anima Chard so I can instantly cast that Thor's Hammer, and then I took out 3-round bursts and gave myself a single target safety off to as a resource builder. But other than that, I left everything else across the board there. I got rid of the one, I put it Brawler in instead of the one that stated that you gained a 10% boost in the resource builder, because when I added it up in Theorycrafting and we were using your resource builder with suppressing fire, basically it only gave me 8 more points of attack damage for that. So what I did there was I actually ended up putting the elementalism abilities up the 10% damage. So I pretty much went damage, damage, damage. I got rid of any of the 7.5% and the 5% and put straight across damage. But other than that, I didn't really change anything else. I kept Lethality. I kept Eagle Eye. I kept 6 Society. And I kept the Live Wire. So I didn't change a whole lot. I did play around with both decks. I played around with your deck a lot today, both in questing and PvP, as it was. It did start to grow on me. So, in all, I thought the Battlestar Galactrix deck was quite a good deck, and you've had enough hands on your deck already, so I'll shift my upgrade to you, and you can try that out, like in PvP, when you're looking to Red Mist me in the face or something. You can now hammer me, and then Red Mist me in the face.
It's worth to note, though, that the original Ground Pounder deck I've had for nearly a year now, and it stood its own for over a year, and I haven't changed it. One of the core difference between the Ground Pounder deck and the Battlestar Galactrix deck is the Battlestar Galactic deck is more of a support, whereas my original Ground Pounders deck had Turn the Tables in it, which gave me an extra health. So if I got my health down or whatever, I could rely on having Turn the Tables to, you know, give me some extra health. That's really the core difference between the two. Other than that, the Battlestar Galactic deck utilized a lot more Theorycraft than I had put into it, and actually given me a lot more freedom and flexibility. So that's why I named it the Battlestar Galactic deck.
Yeah, we like to keep our decks flexible. And I'm quite impressed that your deck stood up for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
they make pills for that.
Yes, yes, they do. It's Battlestar Viagra Galactic deck. But anyways, this has been FaZe Big Decks. Thank you again for putting your deck in my hand, Xander.
Anytime.
Last time on Beyond the Veil, the Secret World.
You denied the gift.
Mr. Goody Two Shoes.
Goody Two Shoes. Yeah.
Yes, we still need the gift and beat up the bird and did the last thing good too.
You beat your bird? What?
Yeah.
We so need a soundbite from Evil Dead 2. You know,
Goody Little Two Shoes. Goody Little Two Shoes.
Oh, I love that.
I'm badass, and you're good ass. You're a goody little two-shoes. You're a goody little two-shoes. Little goody 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 two-shoes.
So you're goody little two-shoes all the way through. What about you? All right, so I'm going to call forth my little Twitter birds, Myth and Dash. Why don't you tell us what's happening in the Twitterverse?
Okay, so first off is the wrap-up from last week's Twitterverse stuff, which was a request sent out by Hive Mode for players to send in full body pictures of their outfits for their fashion magazine. And the winners for that included our very own Gigabyte.
Woo.
Sorry?
Galactrix, I meant to say.
Yay, Galactrix!
And several
wrong
other...
British guy.
Gigalactrix.
The other British
Gigalactrix. Oh, Gigalactrix, that would be awesome.
That's such a cool name. I'm going to create a male tune for the Secret World, and I'm going to call it Gigalactrix.
Oh, God. We've created a monster.
And this week, there are two things happening. First off, Richard Sonic tweeted asking for people to go to the Albion Theater and create a reproduction of a Shakespeare play and to send him pictures of the results. Specifically, requesting his favorites being Midsummer's Night's Dream and Hamlet. And the second thing going on is a newbie player has joined the game at Honeyed Tongue, first posting on August 10th with a cryptic message saying, "Names are dangerous, let's be strangers for a while." And then in the past few days, their post count has skyrocketed, sending players on a quest for something significant from 1647 BC, which led us to the Papyrus of Ipuwer, which is a document detailing revolution and unnatural disaster happening in ancient Egypt. Compare it to the Exodus in the Bible, and its past several tweets have been quoting that papyrus. Further developments have yet to be seen.
That is awesome. How is the weather in Transylvania right now, anyway?
It's snowing.
Yeah. It's always snowing there.
It's kind of like the background when like somebody's singing bad and they put this howling over
oh.
them. It's like, oh.
We should so get the recording of Loki howling.
But yes, he that has was this the Twitterverse experiment brought to you live from Transylvania. Thank you, Myth. Myth, are you there?
He got AIDS.
Yes, you're welcome.
So yes, keep your eyes and ears on the Twitter feeds in the Twitterverse. So yes, what's the next stuff on the list? We have items in the item store and all kinds of stuff for you to wear, and that's awesome. And right now, I think Antina's wearing something. You want to tell us about it? Right now, you're wearing something, and Dash too. So why don't you tell us about your dress, and then Dash can tell us about her dress.
Well, what we have had, us ladies, we have finally, like, the calls of, I think, thousands of women out there playing in the secret world, and probably even some guys that have female tunes, have been answered. Why? Well, Funcom came out with 7 different dresses. Admittedly, yeah, kind of like there's about 3 that look kind of like the same. It's just different textures and there's slight differences. But, you know, considering we have not had proper dresses before, unless it's like, you know, hi, I'm a little princess, I'm a Cinderella. Apart from that, we didn't really have that much. So these dresses, there's 7 in total that have been released, and they're pretty awesome. I don't really know the name of all of them, unless I actually pull it up on the screen. Bear with me, I'll try to do that right now. Yeah, so there's 1 mesh skirt leopard dress in black. That is pretty cute, and I think Dash is the one who's wearing it. I can't see Dash. Yeah, yep, she's wearing it. And then there is a 1-shoulder tribal print dress, red, yellow, and black. And it's pretty cool, pretty modern-looking dress. Then we have a gold shoulderless brocaded dress, which is pretty cool, too. Then we have a sleeve cross-banded dress in black and gray. And, yeah, that one's a bit like, I don't know, at least for me. Then next we have a blue-gray strapless dress, a strapless satin dress in white, which I'm wearing. And then we have a striped sleeveless dress in black and white, which when you actually put it on, kind of reminds me of those old prison uniforms. So I'm not a big fan of that one. But as for the rest, the other 6 of them, they're all pretty, pretty cool. Each one will set you back 600 Funcom points. So, you know, if you do have with 10% discount, it'll cost you 580. All in all, I think pretty cool dresses. A big thumbs up to Funcom for actually putting them in the game. I think what we would love to see, if they can pull it off, is something longer. Because all of the dresses have actually been very, very short. And if they can do some longer ones, like evening gowns. Yeah, evening gowns.
It's all
that do not,
according to the knee mechanic.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said in the beginning, considering we have not had, like, modern dresses like this, at least none that I remember, they've started coming up in the last month since issue 7 came out. They've started coming up with more modern stuff for the ladies. So, like I said, big thumbs up to Funcom for that.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your outfit there, Dash?
your ensemble?
Well, I'm wearing the one-sleeved leather dress because I like the larger skirt than the other ones, which are a bit tighter. And I paired it with these boots right here and a jacket and an eye patch and a tiara, so I'm all ready to go to some sort of punk prom we might be having.
Ooh, punk prom.
Yeah, I'm going to the Venetian masquerade ball.
That is awesome. And for the guys, we have crap.
Hey, I just bought this jacket, the Fasten Fabric jacket red, and these fitted sweatpants green.
Yes, I'm looking into the thing right now to show everybody, but yeah, we have, the fabric jacket black, and we have the four different colors, fitted sweatpants, and pirate motif jeans, all in different colors.
Which I am wearing.
Mm-hmm. The only ones that I really actually like is the pirate motif pants, because I used to own a tactical paintball team before I left Canada, and on my tactical vest I actually had that belt buckle. I thought it was cool to have a skull and crossbones, but it was actually the skull was from a vampire, so I had the fang teeth and then the crossbones, so I always thought that was cool. I might actually pick up these pants when they go on sale. You know, because I already get a 20% discount and then get another discount on top of that. You know, I think that'd be kind of cool. But, yeah, I don't really like the rest of the apparel myself. What do you guys think?
I like the pirate, the motif and trousers and the skull and crossbone ones. They're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did actually like those pants. These were just very dragon-y looking, so I picked these.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get the different colors of the fastened fabric jacket. Yeah, different colors. It looks something native, like almost not a rawhide. Oh, maybe, yeah, what was it? A rawhide jacket or whatever you use for riding or something like that. Is it rawhide? Is that the term? Or well, that's
sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't remember. My dad's big into Western and stuff like that, but I think I think that's more Aboriginal, and that's the feel I get from that design.
I thought it looked kind of familiar, and now I look in the store. I think it's like the casual steam top.
I was gonna say it looks very steampunky.
Rowan just posted in Holosuite XS chat.
Oh, yeah.
It's from the steampunk outfit. I gotta say that guys kind of got the shorter end of the stick here, because it seems that lately Funcom has been coming out with a whole bunch of new clothes, like completely new for the ladies, but you guys have just had like different pieces. Yeah. Well, technically they can do that for the ladies. You'll still get to see the smiley faces, so you'll still be complaining that it's not bare chest.
It almost makes you want to have a his to her to me, because, you know, like there's so many cool stuff for the women to wear and not so much for the guys now. And it seems like a lot of the stuff that they bring up for the guys is reskinned stuff from the slime store anyway.
It's not even reskinned so much as just in different colors. But I guess they did the same thing for the ladies as well, not too long ago, with that. Remember when we had the fashion event? There was a lot of entries wearing the same top, just in different two different colors. I forgot what the name of it was. Yeah, it escapes me.
Steampunk, yeah, it was steampunk.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, I guess something is better than nothing overall. I just noticed that they've been coming up with more stuff for ladies that is different.
And for those of you that's watching in the live stream, we broadcast Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern every week. Here on Holosuite Live XS, and we're zooming in on Myth's pants. Yes, stretch your stuff, Myth. You better work, cover boy, work it now. And he's not working it.
There you go. You gotta work. Copper boy, work it now. Show your thing. Do your...
Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, he's strutting the stuff right now of his pirate pants. And like I said, those are the ones... that pair of pants, I do believe, is from the snakeskin outfit. Am I correct? Glatrix, do you remember this? I think I said that one time on the show before. That I don't like wearing a snakeskin outfit with the pants, because I like the pants to wear separately. And we finally got the snakeskin jacket before, and now we're getting the pants. So it's actually cool. We have the Grandmaster's snakeskin outfit complete now in its own separate spots.
So yeah, if you but wanted... it's not free.
Well, no, it's not free. Yeah, but you, like the one gripe that I had with the snakeskin outfit was the t-shirt that it came with. I didn't like the t-shirt at all, but I like the pants and I like the jacket. Now we have the jacket and now we have the pants, so I could wear the snakeskin outfit and put a different t-shirt with it.
Yeah.
I just remembered that.
I hope that they continue that trend and go through most of the full outfits and give us the ability to put them on in separate pieces, because there's several of the outfits that I really like, but I only really like one thing from them.
Exactly.
Yeah, they should initially, when they do come out with an outfit, they should... break it into pieces rather than have it as one outfit that you can just either wear completely as they put it together or not at all. They should allow different matchups with other clothing items.
And that would be very nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're coming to the end of another show. But first, we have to call the Count, because he asked us to call him, and I have no idea what he wants. So, let's give him a call.
Hello?
Hi, Igor?
Hey, Xander. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's us here at the Beyond the Veil talk show. The Count told us to call him before we close the show.
Yes, Master. I actually thought you were going to give us another free trip to the Bahamas.
No.
I'll go get him.
That would be prudent. Thank you.
Hello? Hello, Xander? Is that you?
Hi, Count. You said you wanted to call us before we close the show?
Ah, yes, Xander. I have this thing that I wanted to announce.
Okay, yeah, go right ahead.
Hello, everybody out there! Hello, everyone listening to Beyond the Veil! This is me, the Count, and this is Igor. Igor, say hi.
Hi, everybody.
Yes, anyway, we like to tell you that Holosuite Media, yes, holosuitemedia.com is launching a very brand new show. Yes, it's launching a very brand new show September 3rd. And it's going to be called, what is this word, Igor?
Master, it's called The Geek Easy.
Yes, it's called The Geek Easy, the brand new show starring Adam Isle. You may know him as the guy who created the Enterprise. Was it the G or the E or the elemental P? Ah, get it? Even the Count can rhyme. Anyway, yes, he created the new Enterprise for CBS and Star Trek Online.
Oh, Master, don't forget, he also worked in the movies, and he did makeup and artist designs and all that nice stuff.
Oh, yes, he did. So anyway, Adam Isle is very, very big. He's a legend in our community, and he is also looking for you. He is looking for you to join him in this new talk show. And the talk show is... Igor, what is the talk show about?
Oh, yes, Master, I know this one. The talk show is about everything geeky and nerdy. It's very easy, Master.
Oh, what is this geeky or nerdy? I am not a geek. I am a Count. I cannot be geeky. Explain this geeky to me.
Well, the show's premise is revolving all around everything that, like, comics, books, movies, TV shows, everything except for games.
Oh, why not games?
Because they already have a show about games.
Oh, what is this show?
Oh, that show is Stands in Fire. That show is going to be launching next week, but it already has a full cast. So be sure to check that one out on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, yes, and that show is about games?
Yes, that show is about games, about all the different games that they don't talk about on Beyond the Veil or Turbos and Ecstasy.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, you're confusing me. What one is this Turbos and Ecstasy?
No, Tribbles and Ecstasy is the one that's about Star Trek Online in Star Trek.
Oh, that's that one with all those weird people transporting all over the universe, and it seems that all the people that wear red die.
Yes, Master.
I suppose that's okay, because when I bite them, they wear red and then they die. It works. It works for me.
Yes, Master. But yeah, that show is going to be launching next week on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern here at Hall of Sweet Excess.
But we're supposed to be talking about Geek Easy, are we not?
Yes, Geek Easy. It's going to be a show surrounding everything else but games. It's going to have comics and debates on what, you know, if you like the new Spider-Man costume, you know, compared to the Tobey Maguire one.
Oh, who is this Tobey Maguire?
Well, he's that really dorky-looking dude in the first Spider-Man movies.
Oh, what is this dork? I don't know. You are saying things that I don't understand.
I'm sorry, Master. I'm just trying to get down with my lingo.
Oh, I understand that part, because I am very cool. I am very cool. But yes, Adam Isle and Holosuite Media are looking for you. You out there, yes, if you would like to be part of this show, yes, you. All the geeks and nerds out there, yes, we all are geek. Well, okay, I'm not a geek and nerd. I am the Count. You have to know this fact. This cannot be changed. But if you want to be like Igor, and maybe like Xander. Xander, are you a geek? Yes, I'm a geek and a nerd. Oh, very good. So I guess geeks and nerds are cool. Yes, actually, we are very cool. Oh, very awesome. Is there any more geeks on your show? I don't know. Hey, guys, are you guys geeks or nerds? Or both?
Both.
Both.
Well, I think it's unanimous, their count. Oh, very good. Maybe they should be on the show, too. Well, I think maybe from time to time. Actually, I think, Dash, you are actually part of the show, aren't you?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to listen to Dash there on that nice, awesome show. Oh, right on, Dash. Oh, I like you. You remind me of Rainbow Dash from the My Little Ponies. Yes, I love it. Anyway, so yes, if you want to be part of this show, please send an email to hollowsweetmedia@gmail.com. If to send in your application to be part of that show, all you have to do, or the only requirements you need, is to have a mic and to know stuff about all this geek stuff. This is new to me. I can't be part of this show. I'm sorry. I have nothing. I don't know anything about geeks. Well, that's okay. Thank you very much, Sandra. I just wanted to say that. Okay, guys. Thank you. But anyway, yes. So the Geek Easy will be launching right here on Hall Street Access Live. That's going to be launching September 3rd. So if you have any interest in movies, TVs, comics, and the whole spectrum, toys, all the whole spectrum of geekdom, please send an email into Tia. Almost sent our email, actually. To hollowsweetmedia@gmail.com. Send in your application. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and we're going to go through the applications and pick the co-hosts that are going to be for that show. So please send in your, you know, applications to hollowsweetmedia@gmail.com. And, of course, we're shutting down this show for tonight, so we'll be here next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, here on Holosuite Live Access. If you have any questions or comments about the show, if you'd like to show us your deck, send in pictures, or tell us about your tweets on the Twitterverse, please send them in to beyondtsw@gmail.com or follow us at beyondtsw. I am Xander, and I hope you had a hell of a show and a hell of a good time. I can say hell, right? Yeah, that's not part of the five words. Yeah. All right, that's bitching, dude. I can say that one. I know I can. Anyway, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised. Thank you.
listening to Beyond the Veil, the secret.